So I just want to turn the floor over to James Phillips, an amazing man of God. He's got something on his heart this week that's just been in the theme of identity. So just get your journals and your Bibles out, and let's keep worshiping.
Good.
You want me to leave now?
Yeah. Sorry. So I really want to share something with you guys that's really been important to me. This has really been a major thing in my journey with the Lord, all 3.5 years of it. And it really, this is probably, I'm going to share with you tonight about something that's probably the second most important thing in my Christian journey since salvation. So it's pretty important. And I really believe that it's going to bless you tonight, and I think that it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you have your Bibles with me, could you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. I want to say that here at GM, we love our Bibles. We believe that this Bible is the inspired Word of God. We believe that everything in this Bible is what we need to live this life and live it godly. Amen? We believe that this Bible is good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. It's good. When you're there, when you are at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12, kiss your Bible because you love it. Good, good. And this will be the only time that kissing is okay in church, aside from a wedding. But we're just trying to demonstrate our love for our Bibles. Amen. 2 Samuel, you never know what's going to happen when James preaches. 2 Samuel chapter 6, that's why I don't preach often. Just kidding. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. All right, let's read it. Now King David was told, oh, you know what? Before I do that, I want to give you just a little bit of preface to this scripture reading. Basically, right before we start here, what happened is King David was transferring the ark, and he was moving it on a cart. First bad idea. So he's moving it on the cart, and there's this poor old guy behind there who's watching over it, and as the cart hits a bump, the ark moves, and the guy freaks out, and he touches the ark, and he's instantly dead. So don't do that. So basically, so he's dead, David gets freaked out, he's like, dude, I'm not taking the ark to me, let's take it somewhere else. So they ship the ark off to this guy's house called Odom Edom. Reed actually preached a message on him a while ago, it was excellent, you should podcast it. So they ship it to this guy's house, it's there for 6 months. While it's there, this guy gets blessed. I mean, he doesn't just get a little bit blessed, he gets way blessed. So his family's blessed, his stocks, or it's not his stocks, but his cattle, you know, is blessed. His whole household's blessed. Everybody is blessed. So David notices it, and that's where we start. It says, now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of the Lord. So David went down and brought up the ark of the Lord, or the ark of God, from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpet. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of the Israelites, both men and women. We're getting to the end here. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would do. And this is good right here. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone else in his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children, to the day of her death. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we are madly in love with you. We're madly in love with this word that you've given us. God, I pray, Jesus, that you might use me to convey your message tonight, God. I pray that we will be good soil, God, that we might be expecting to be changed by you. God, I'm expecting to be changed by you, and I'm the preacher, God. We're believing for great things tonight, God. I pray that you might use me tonight. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we mentioned it earlier, guys. GM Camp 2008 is coming up. I have to just take another moment to encourage you guys to go. GM Camp in this ministry is one of the main things our ministry goes around all year. I mean, GM Camp is it. GM Camp is talked about all year. GM Camp is prayed about all year. GM Camp, we spend half of our year prepping for GM Camp. I mean, GM Camp is everything. So you definitely, as Christina said, need to do all that you possibly can to clear your schedule. And seriously, tell your friends about our camp. Our camps are like renowned in Christian circles. It's a good thing. So you guys totally got to get to it. And I am so passionate about GM Camp because 3.5 years ago, I went to this little GM Camp and I got completely saved. And that's a good thing. Now, what makes that so special to me is knowing who I was before GM Camp. And basically, not, I don't know, it was 2005 or whatever it was. But before GM Camp, I mean, Josh jokes about it and Pastor Reed jokes about it. You guys, I was a punk. You know, and they say that because I was a punk. Seriously, I totally suffered from so many things. First thing, I had like identity problems. I thought I was black. Now, there's really no problem with being black unless you're 98% Dutch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, seriously. And you drive a 91 Subaru station wagon. Seriously, it was horrible. I had, like, the sweatpants rolled up here. I had, like, the hoodie. I had this hat so low I had to walk around like this all the time. I'm not kidding. It's embarrassing. And so I got saved from that, you know. And so my friends told me, and I went to this camp, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to check this out. I'm so cool. And so I went there. And the first night, the Holy Spirit, he'll mess you up good, but the Holy Spirit, he came and he fell upon me. And I felt his love. And I felt his compassion. And I felt his forgiveness like never before. And I remember how my thoughts worked back then and how my life was back then. And my whole life and my whole school time that year, I remember it was just totally based on other people. You know, other people would just be the energy to the reason I lived, and my friends had so much power with the things they spoke to me. And I remember something happened at that camp where I just broke. You guys, if you knew me before, I got like punched in the face, and I just be like, what? And that happened, you know? And I totally broke at that camp. And people that I, you know, had worried all year about what they thought about me, I was just sitting there weeping for 2 hours and snotting all over myself, and I just didn't care. Because something happened. Something special happened. You guys probably remember. You know, many of you, you've had this time in your life. Whether it was at a camp like me, or whether it was at a service and you went forward. But something happened where you just didn't care anymore. You know, it was too much. You didn't care what your friends thought. You didn't care what your parents thought. You only cared what God thought. And you ran to the altar. And you cried and you wept and you gave your life to the Lord. You guys, when we read here, in our Bible, in 2 Samuel, we read about David. And David, I mean, David was, he was the dude. I mean, the whole world in that time was basically the Middle East. And David was the king of, like, Israel and Judah. I mean, he was it. I mean, he was like the President Bush of that day. He really was. And David was more than that. I mean, David was a man's man. Since a child, David had, like we all have this testimony, so I like killed Goliath and cut off his head when I was young, and I also like killed a bear and a lion. I mean, David was like the dude. He had lived his whole life fighting. He had went into the enemy's camp and he had fought. He had completely lived a life of warfare. And here, in this story we read, we find him dancing. Dude, David was kind of like this person that you would imagine. You know, you'd imagine him like William Wallace, you know, from Braveheart, only without the kilt. Well, I mean, don't imagine William Wallace without the kilt. That's scary. Sorry. Gotta think before I speak. So anyway, I mean, he was like that. He was a man's man. I mean, he was a warrior. He was it. And we find him dancing. I mean, he wasn't just dancing. He was like doing the canoe, you know what I'm saying? He's doing like the sprinkler or whatever it is. He's doing that. He's taking the shopping cart. I mean, he's getting down. He is doing everything. He says in our Bible, he's leaping and dancing. Leaping and dancing. I'm sorry, I should have not done that. I gotta remember. James dancing is just one of those things that make you go, yeah, you know, I gotta keep going, but I always say white face, white feet, no beat. Sad. But David was a Jew, so he had hope. He was darker. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going on. I'm going on. I have not offended anybody yet. I mean, they say black is where it's at, brown is down, white is not tight. So here we are. So here's David, dude. He is dancing before the Lord. And as the king, as the head of the Middle East, as the person that everybody every day talks about and sings about and everything's about, David, what's David doing? Everybody's looking at him because he's taken over the whole place. He's taken over the world. He's like the President Bush. And here we find him dancing. Just dancing. I mean, you don't see President Bush dancing. Don't imagine President Bush dancing. Scary. Here we find him dancing. And it says that he danced before the Lord with all his might. It says King David was leaping and dancing before the Lord. And for the most important person in the Middle East, that is really saying something. So how could David just dance in such a way that he didn't care what anybody think, that he didn't care what anybody thought? This is what I really want to get at tonight. Many of us remember, like I said, that time of salvation, where we didn't care, where we just forsook it all and just was crazy before the Lord. We were weeping and crying. And what David understood at this time is that he wasn't focused on all those things around him. He was focused on the Lord. You see, at that time of salvation, we ran forward. We weren't focused on all those people around us. We were focused on the Lord. It's that exact same understanding. You guys, David understood something. As he stood there dancing before the Lord, he understood, you know what? I am not exalted to this point. I am not the king of Israel and Judah. I am not all the way up here in charge of everything by my own will, by my own skill, by some greatness that I have. I'm up here by the grace of God. And you guys, that's the same thing that we understood at salvation to make us run to the altar. It's the same understanding that, dude, I am that little kid from the east side of Anchorage in that yellow house that nobody knows. And here I am, and when I was dead in my sins, when I chose to purposely sin, when I had sin in my very nature, then God looked at me for some reason. Why? I don't know. And God looked at me, and he's loved me. And he said, you know what, son? I love you. I'm going to pour my love on you. I'm going to pour my forgiveness on you. I'm going to pour my compassion on you. And not only that, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to save you. I'm going to give you new life. And that's why we ran to that altar. That's why I wept for 2 hours at that camp. Because not what others did or how great I was, but because of what God did for me. You guys, this is why David can rejoice and just doesn't care. And that's why we could run to that altar. My friends, David was kingdom-minded. Now, when I say that, it has huge implications, so I want to explain that. I think that Colossians 3, verse 1 says it the best that I can find. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ, and that's all of you in here that are saved and have a relationship with the Lord. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You guys, the kingdom mindset that David had here is he understood, he looked to God, and he saw what God says is important. He wasn't focused on man, he was focused on God. And I love it because he refers to it when he's talking to Michael. He says, Michael, it, talking about his dancing, it was before the Lord. You see, she's thinking earthly. She's thinking, man, all these people saw you dancing, all this is weird, you just disgraced yourself. And he's saying, no. I'm not looking around here where you're looking. I'm looking up. I'm looking to the kingdom. It was before the Lord who saved me. It was before the Lord who chose me. He says, I am nothing and God chose me. I was just this little boy. I was the seventh or eighth son that nobody even cared about. And God chose me and look where I stand now. I don't dance before you, I dance before the Lord. Because David knew where he stood before the Lord. And we can tell this by other prayers and other psalms and other things that David had that are recorded in our Bible that we love so much. 2 Samuel 7:18 says, this is David just pouring out his heart to the Lord. He says, who am I? Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if that were not enough, O Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? He says, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, O sovereign Lord! There is none like you. There is no God but you. And we have heard it with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. I'm reading this because it's so important. It says, you have established your people Israel. You, God, have established your people Israel as your very own forever. And you, O Lord, have become their God. You guys, David understood something. When he pours out his heart, when he says, who am I, O sovereign God? He understood that it's not his skills that got him where he was at. And we are in that very same spot. Look at this. Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? You guys, this is the exact same thing that we understood on salvation. Who am I? Who? We know us. Think about us. Who are we that God chose to save us? And I mentioned earlier that when we had broken God's laws, when we had been so dead, God chose us. And as if that were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You guys, if it were not enough for God to just save us from how bad we were, I mean, if that were not enough, God says, you know what? Not only am I going to save you, but I'm going to adopt you into my family. And we're going to have a relationship. And when you die, you're going to come be with me forever. In eternal paradise. David understood this with all of his heart. And he understood this even as a child. We all heard the story of David and Goliath. It's good. It's great. David totally took out the Goliath, the giant. But let's look closely at what David emphasizes so strongly in this conversation. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. You might as well just turn there because it's good. 1 Samuel 17:45 says, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. You see that? You come against me in flesh, but I don't even come against you. I come against you with the Lord. The Lord's coming against you. He says, whom you have defiled. He says, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. And I'll strike you down and cut off your head. By the way. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the sea. And the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. And then I love this because this is so important. And this is so what David understood. He says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord says, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into your hands. You guys, David was kingdom mindset. He was kingdom minded. And he walked in the understanding. He walked in the understanding that our citizenship is in heaven. That it's not about this earth that we live in. But it's about God's strength and God's power. You guys, when you focus on God, everything changes. When you set your mind on God, everything begins to change. Everything begins to shrink. I counsel people all the time, and this is the one thing I say. They're like, I'm so stressed out. I am so just totally stressed out. And I say, just focus on God. Get the kingdom mindset. Get what God sees important. And you'll see that this huge problem, well, it may be huge, just begins to shrink because it didn't make it into eternity. It didn't make it into God's economy. Yeah, you might seem to be poor. You might seem to have huge financial problems, but look to God. He'll take care of you. You guys, this is how you can go against Goliath. This is how you can do complete miracles. This is how David can dance undignified before the Lord. Because he's not looking around. He's not looking at his problems everywhere. He's looking up. I will dance. Michael, I'm not looking around where you're looking. I'm looking to God. I have the kingdom mindset. GM, do we want to see miracles? We must get the kingdom mindset because we must have a complete understanding that it's not us that's going to do it. It's going to be God. And I promise you guys, if we get this kingdom mindset, it will change our entire ministry. I promise it. Because we won't be dealing with these petty little problems. We'll be focused on the kingdom. And we'll be focused on God. And we'll be focused on what God sees as important. You guys, the kingdom mindset will completely change you. Completely. I think that if there's one person who really understood this, it's Jesus. And he referred to this so many times. John 5:19 says, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Jesus says, I am not looking around here. I'm constantly keeping my eyes on the Father. I'm constantly getting the kingdom mindset that I might do what He does. He says, for I do not speak of my own accord, but the Father who commanded me what to say, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that this command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what my Father told me to say. You guys, not only is he focused on what his Father is doing, he's completely focused on what his Father is saying. We here at GM must get the kingdom mindset. Jesus talked about it over and over again. I don't know if we know how much he did. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now that might mean something to some people, but what he's referring to is, look, the kingdom of heaven is right there. It's just inches above us. Look up and see what God sees as important. Look up, it's just right there. He said in parable after parable, you know, get ready for the kingdom of heaven is near. He said the kingdom of heaven, it's hard to say, is like a man who. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. The kingdom of heaven is like a king. You guys, if Jesus emphasizes something this much, it's because he's walking out of life living in a certain understanding. He's not looking around. He's constantly looking up to Christ and seeing what Christ is doing. You guys, when you get the kingdom mindset, it completely changes you. Because what you do is you start to renew your mind with what God sees as important. And you begin to look around at your selfish desires and at your life. You begin to see these things that just don't make it into the kingdom. I mean, you begin to see that these like pursuits, these dreams that you have, these personal passions, you're like, what? Where's that? You begin to see that the pursuit of money that the whole world goes into, well, that sure didn't make it up there. You see, when you're looking up, you're seeing all the things that are eliminated. And you begin to see the things that make it up there. You begin to see that, wow, look, it's a soul. It's a soul that I gave a track to. I didn't even think that person would ever come to Christ, and they're up there. You're looking. You begin to see the things of the earth that don't make it up there, and you begin to see the things of God that make it up there. You guys, I'm hounding so much on this kingdom mindset because it has so changed my life. No, I'm not legalistic, but there's something that's just changed in me where I don't have an appetite to really go see a movie, not because it's bad, but just because it just didn't make it anywhere near the kingdom. And I began to get an appetite for things that are going to make it in the kingdom. Where I'd rather just sit down with any of you just talk about Christ. Or just, you know, love on you for a while. And any of our leaders are the same. And just, I would just rather just share the gospel. Just say words of uplifting words of Christ. Because I see it's going to make it. It's going to make it into the kingdom. Where so much of the temptations of the flesh aren't going to make it. You guys, when we are 40, when we are 50, when we are 60, we're not going to look back over our life and wish we did those things more. We're going to look ahead and see, has anything that I've done in life, is anything going to make it? And it's going to be a fearful day. When we stand there, oh wow, I have lived this whole life, and I've traveled the world, and I've seen the Grand Canyon, and I've seen it all, and I've seen every movie that came out, I've read every book, and wow. None of it's up there. None of it is going to be up there. I think that I will probably, and if you've known me for any length of time, I try and sneak this little thing in almost every tithe or nugget in everything I've done. Because it's changed my life so much. And because I have such a heart that people will not get to the end of their lives and will not stand before the Lord and have everything burnt up. You guys, we must get the kingdom mindset that David had. We must get the kingdom mindset that Jesus had. We must, because it will change the way we operate. Guys, the truth is that only what God thinks matters. The truth is that what your friends think, it doesn't really even matter. And David understood this. He understood that as the king, as the person everybody looks to, and everybody talks about, it's not what everybody thinks that matters. It's only what God thinks that matters. You guys, do we have that mindset tonight? Guys, David was broken. He was completely broken. He was abandoned before the Lord. But he was living that out. He was living out what we might have once experienced at salvation and might have lost. David was living out. He says, I will become even more undignified than this. I don't care. I really don't care. I only care about what he's thinking. Yes, David had his mind on God, and it completely diminished what he saw in this world. And I love it. He understood that he was only going to be judged for his actions by God, not by man. And we see this in many stories of his life. We all remember when Saul is just chasing David all around in the desert and all around the Middle East. And after his life, and David, God actually delivered Saul into David's hands multiple times. And we look at David's response. He says, this day you have seen in your own eyes how the Lord has delivered you into my hands in the cave. He's talking to Saul. He says, some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lift my hand against the master, because he is the Lord's anointed. You guys, David understood that he would not be judged by man. Even though man said, kill him, take his life. You have to take his life. He's chasing you. He's trying to kill you. This is the third time he's after you. You need to take his life. He says, no, I'm not going to be judged by you. I'm going to be judged by God. He says, may the Lord judge between you and me. And may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done me. But my hand will not touch you. You guys, David stood firmly on what the Lord commanded. He says, do not listen to man. Listen to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You guys, the truth is that no matter what man says, no matter where man urges us to go, this way or that, we're going to stand before the Lord alone on Judgment Day. And we're going to be held accountable for the way that we have lived our life. And it will not be an okay excuse to say, God, everybody was urging me. I mean, think about David. God, all my soldiers, my men were urging me to kill Saul. And so I did it. That's why I did it. God will say, I told you to look to me. I told you to obey me. That's not a valid excuse. He'll say, you know, when we're standing there, God, all my friends urged me to go to this thing or to not do this, you know, or to, all my friends were making fun of me when you called me to worship harder, when you called me to go up and give that mini prophecy. He'll say, your friends, what about me? Look to me. I told you to look to me. I gave you Jesus Christ as the perfect example. How many times more did you want me to tell you to focus on the kingdom? I mean, like 20 more parables? I mean, you'd be parabled out. You guys, we must understand this. We must understand that only what God thinks matters. David understood this, and it allowed him, as the king, to dance before the Lord in such a way that he did. I think that so many of us today care too much about what other people think. And I don't think that we want that. I think about back over my life, and I think about those times where truly, I didn't want to be a slave to people. I didn't want to be so dependent upon people, but I just was. Now, I think back to those times where even after I was saved, I'd try and, you know, go for the Lord, but when those certain people were around, it was just so much harder. And I just couldn't go to that next level. And I think that many of us are here, and we're like that tonight. And I want to encourage you in this, that even when Michael mocked, David did not care. If we're still open to that scripture, we can read it again. Verse 16 says, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. Now, if we remember who Michal was the daughter of Saul, and Michal was David's first wife, and he had won Michal by going out and killing 100 Philistines and getting 100 foreskins, which we're just going to cut that story short. But anyway, sorry, the joke that nobody got. Anyway, or wanted to get, praise the Lord. And we understand that how fitting it was for Michal to be a daughter of Saul and to have these problems. Where when David is having the kingdom mindset, she's looking and she's like, I cannot believe you. I mean, you are the king, and you would completely, you know, you would just completely, disrobe, that's one word I was looking for. But you would just completely ruin your whole, I mean, you're the king, you're it. And you would just like dishonor yourself completely in front of all of them. I mean, you were the king. See, she was looking horizontally, where David is looking vertically. You see, and this is why. Because she was the daughter of Saul, who, as we remember, was always swayed by the people. You see, God would give a word for Saul to do, and Saul, yeah, I'm going to do it. But, oh boy, that person's really on me, so let's not do that. Let's do this new thing. And God was never pleased with Saul. And so here's Michal, next generation, having the same problems. And I love David's response to Michal. He says, it was before the Lord, and we read this before, but we must emphasize this. It is before the Lord who chose me rather than your father, Michal, or anyone else from his house when he appointed me ruler of the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. You guys, David was focused on what God thought, not what people thought. Guys, the truth is that people will always mock. I heard a story once. It involved three characters. First one is a grandfather and his young grandson and a donkey. They had to take a long journey. And so they headed out on this journey, and they had to go through a couple towns. And as they came to the first town, the grandfather, because he was really old, was riding the donkey, and they had the young grandson walking. And the people saw it, and they were like, what is this? Can you believe that selfish old grandfather? Look at him, riding the donkey and making his young grandson walk. This is ridiculous. And they just mocked him and yelled at him. And so the three of them got out of town, and they're like, man, we're not doing that again. So the grandfather hops off, and he puts the grandson on there. They go into the next town. The people see it, and they're like, look at this. Look at that selfish little grandson making his old father walk. I cannot believe this. This is a disgrace. And so they get out of that town, and they're like, man, let's not do that again. So they're like, okay, let's both ride the donkey. So they get on the donkey. They're going through the next town. The people see him. They're like, what is this? Look at those two people. They're so lazy. Look at that poor donkey. The donkey's about to lose it. I mean, not only could one of them ride it, but both of them are riding it. What kind of people are these? So they get out of there. They're like, dude, we got to figure something out. So they finally get it. So they come into the next town carrying the donkey. And so basically, the people are like, what? I cannot believe this. This is so ridiculous. They're carrying the stinking donkey. Why? You know? And guys, that's the absolute truth of it, is that people will always mock. I mean, they will always mock. They will mock everything you do for Christ. They will say, you know, you'll be in high school and you'll be, or here at GM, and be like, oh my goodness, look at Billy Bob worshiping. I mean, do you know what he did today in school? He totally disrespected his teacher. I cannot believe it. He was doing faces and all this stuff, and there he is worshiping the Lord. They'll say, you know, they'll be like, I cannot believe they just asked that person to give a testimony. Dude, I totally saw him honking at somebody on the way in. I mean, can you believe that person would get to give a testimony? I can't believe it. You guys, people are always going to mock. They're going to mock the way you worship. They're going to mock you if you worship. They're going to mock you if you're radical. I'm getting a bigger group of James mockers. It's growing quickly. I don't like it, but thus, the radical. You guys, if you witness, they're going to mock you. They're going to mock the way you witness. As GM grows, get ready, guys. Get ready for mocking. The largest ministries in this nation that you would think are doing the best thing for Christ, they have full-out websites. They have everything against them. You guys, people are always going to mock. I remember when I first got saved, and I heard this last week again. It's amazing. They say, James, you're just so extreme. And they just completely void anything I have to say because I'm like some extreme, like, hybrid something, you know? And the truth is that they said that right when I got saved, they said, James, your passion, that passion you have for the Lord, that's going to fail. I mean, that's going to slow down. Seriously, you'll get like me, you'll come back, and you'll mature out, and you'll figure out this Christian thing, and then you'll understand. And you know what? I threw that off. I said, God, I'm not going to take that. I'm going to look to you. God, I need to look to you. When people say, James, you're so extreme, I say, God, I got to put that aside. I got to look to you. You guys, we got to get our focus on God. And the truth is that people mock David for everything he did. People mock the prophets for everything they did. People mock Jesus for everything he did. And the truth is that those mockers are no longer around. They've passed away. They've gone to mock someone else. And you guys, as we seek the Lord, as we follow the Lord, we must put those things aside. And God will take care of those mockers. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face the judgment. Those people will face judgment. And I love this. This is an excellent verse. It says, God is just. He will pay back trouble for those who trouble you. It says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You guys, the truth is those people mock. Because they see something in you that they don't have, that they struggle with. And that when people are 50 and 60, as I mentioned or before, they're not going to look back over their life and wish that they were more ordinary. They will not. Not a single soul will. They will wish they surrendered more of their life to the Lord. They will wish that they are more radical. I think that the real question comes down to who is our Lord? Because there's many of us that are in different places here tonight. many of us really do have the Lord first. And when people mock, we're able to put that aside. We're able to keep going for the Lord. But many of us, when we're going for the Lord and people start mocking, people start nudging us in directions, we are swayed to the side. We're swayed off the road as Saul was. And the question really comes down to, who is our Lord? Because if we're swayed, if we're seeking God, and we're swayed off that road by people, they have a higher place in our life than God. They have more say in our life than God. So who is our Lord tonight? Paul addresses this situation in Galatians. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Matthew 10. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And it's vice versa. If we cannot stand up for what God has told us to do, where God has told us to go, if we will not acknowledge Him, I'm not so sure He'll be able to acknowledge us. You guys, if our actions do not show that Jesus Christ is Lord in our life, is He really? I think that some of us are really in bondage tonight. I think that we really do want to serve the Lord. And we really believe God has called us to do something. But we know that whether it's our parents, or whether it's a teacher, or whether it's some friends, we know that when they start to mock, when they start to nudge us and say, oh, you don't have to, you know, don't do that. Or when we're trying to worship and we just, you know, we can't worship to the extreme because they're there. You guys, we are in bondage and we need to be set free. You guys, the truth is that God has a call on all of our lives, and I'm afraid that we will not be able to completely fill it unless we can have God as the number one spot in our life. And unless we can throw off what man says. You guys, this is so essential. This is so important. We need to get the kingdom mindset that what only God sees is important. David understood this, and it allowed him to do what he did. Jesus understood this, and it allowed him to do what he did. I want to share with you just a little bit about just a journey that I've been on in my life. Last week was awesome because Christina really poured out her heart about masks and these things and these identity problems, and I'm much in that same boat with my testimony. I remember that during high school and stuff like that, as I mentioned, I was really searching for my identity, and I remember going through school and going through these things, and I would just be on these ups and downs. I mean, this is the absolute truth. I think I was like an extreme in this dependency on people, because I needed people so bad. And I would be just on the highest high if somebody said I was great, or I looked great today, or I'm so, you know, awesome or funny, whatever. I would just totally be launched to the top. When somebody would make fun of me, I would just come crashing down. And I remember I was just so needy, and I would never want to be alone. And so I'd always go call somebody up. Dude, what are you doing? And I'd always be going around. If you guys knew me, I was like the Energizer Bunny on steroids. I was just always going. And it was just wearing me out. And I remember that I got in a relationship, and what happened is that got so magnified. And so that whole neediness got magnified and placed on one individual. And I think that many of us tonight, or many of us in our schools, are kind of in circumstances the same, where we're in relationships because we have needs, and we have voids in our heart, and we're trying to search for the other person to fill. And the truth is, guys, is that they can't fill it. And so basically I got in this relationship and it just put too much weight on another person. It put a weight on a person that no person can bear. And so what happened is that a relationship eventually broke up for that and many other reasons. But, well, let's just say I want you to check your heart about your relationships and that, and definitely seek the Lord about that. But when I got out of that, I remember that the Lord totally spoke to me something, and I just didn't quite understand it. But He's like, James, these voids that are in your heart, only I can fill. And so when people say, come to Christ because you have a void in your heart, to a huge extent, I do agree with that. There are things in us, guys, that only Jesus Christ can fill. And the world does not have that, and that's why they run so hard at these pursuits. after money and after girls and after these ridiculous things. They just seek him with all they got, trying to fill these needs and these voids. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, James, only I can fill those voids. So he says, come seek me. And I remember I went out and this changed my life. This really did. It's so huge. I talk about it all the time. Where I went out for almost a whole summer every night. And I just went out in my Jeep and I just sought the Lord. And I remember that all those needy things were there and my body would just scream, my flesh would scream, you gotta go hang out with your friends, you can't be alone. And I was like, no, I'm gonna stay and I'm gonna force myself to be here and have God fill my voids. I remember pouring over my word and seeing who God says I was. And seeing what God says is important, not what man says is important. And I would just seek the Lord and I would pray. And I remember I would weep. Night after night in my Jeep, it was sad, but I would just weep because I was so needy and God just started to pour into me and started to fill me. You guys, I'm a different person than I was. You would never even recognize the difference. Because when I came out of that summer, I was so changed. And I am just not bragging or anything, but I mean, honestly, I don't fear man anymore. I don't fear death anymore. Because I am so focused on the Lord and who he says I am in this. Not because I'm great, because I have nothing to offer, but because God chose to save me. And I became so secure in the Lord. And I can now worship and not care what anybody thinks. You guys, this, if we can get our kingdom mindset, if we can truly understand this, and get our focus off what man says and onto what God says, it will change our life. And you will experience freedom like none other. You guys, this is how the apostles can stand before a crowd trying to kill them, that hates them, and they're completely content because they're looking up. You guys, this is how we can go out there and talk to people on the streets because we're not caring about what they think. We're only caring about what God thinks. This is how you in your school and in your life can fulfill the plan that God has given you. It's if we throw off the horizontal vision and we get the vertical vision of what God has for us. We're going to begin to close down in a little bit. But I want to be very sure that I'm not saying rebel. I'm not saying that if Pastor Reed or your parents tell you to do something or encourage you in some way, you say, oh, no. I am focused on the heavenlies and they have not spoken divinely to me of what to do. You guys, this is not rebel. God's word sums it up great. It says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. You guys, here on this earth, here in this church, here in our schools, we are to respect our authority, but we look up. We look to a higher authority. Amen? Amen. You guys, we need to get secure in the Lord. We need to get this kingdom mindset so that we can do what Christ has commanded us to do. Gabby and the worship team, if you guys could make your way up. I want to give you guys, before I close tonight, I'm huge on application. And so I want to give you guys four things that I really think and that I know from my life will help you to get to this point. So if you're taking notes, this is what you want to jot down. So the first thing, how to get the kingdom mindset, how to renew and put your security in the Lord. First thing is read your word. In this word, God clearly displays who he thinks we are and how he sees us. And we must get that understanding to live this life of freedom. So we must dig into this. And truly, it will change your life. The second thing I'd like to suggest is that we need to pray. When we pray, God renews our mind and he gives us the kingdom mindset. When we pray, we see the things in our life that are not going to make it into the kingdom. When we pray, God opens our mind to truly get the kingdom mindset and to build our faith, guys. We must be praying or we will end this life and we will get to the age of 30 or 40 and we will have missed it. We will have a whole bunch of stuff all in the fire. For what? But number three, I really want to encourage this and this is a really passion of mine. If you are like I was, and if you are dependent upon other people, and if you just need them to fulfill these needs, I want to encourage you, please take the time to let God fill those voids. Whether it takes a whole summer like it did for me, or whether it takes just a certain night or a certain week or something like that, but get away with the Lord and let Him fill you. So that's it. When you need people, when you guys are really needy, when you feel like you must call that girl, you must call your friends, or you must call that person, go seek the Lord. Because it's in those times when you're most needy that you can be most open for God to fill you and fulfill those needs. Amen? Okay, the last thing ties right into that is just to force your flesh, guys. Force your flesh. Your flesh will scream against you to go back to man and have them fulfill you. But seek God. Force your flesh. And on those lines, you guys, let's take our walk with the Lord to the next level. So in our worship, when you feel like God is calling you, this has happened to me multiple times, when God is calling you to just do something in worship, that you know God wants to take you to the next level, you're going to have to force your flesh to do it. Because you'll be like, what are my friends going to think? You know, what does everybody think? What are my parents going to think? And I promise you, force your flesh and go to that next level and you will never regret it. I realize now that when I really get in the presence of the Lord in worshiping, I look like this choir director thing. It's this weird thing that starts happening to me. You know? But I don't really care what you guys think. Because I only care what He thinks. Amen? Amen. You guys, God is calling a generation, and we hear this all the time. He's calling a generation that doesn't care. That cares so much about Him that doesn't care about what others think. And He has a great calling on our lives, and we hear it all the time. And we must go to that next level. So if you please stand with me. So what we're going to do is we're going to worship here in a bit. But before we do that, I want to say, if you are here tonight and you know that you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you know that you are swayed by man and that you don't even know God, you don't even know what He did for you, if you are here and God has been speaking to you, I want to encourage you to be bold like David was bold and not care what others think. And I want to encourage you to let this be the night where you get a relationship with the Lord. So if you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ tonight, I want to encourage you to be bold and just come to the front right now. It's going to be a step of boldness, but we're believing that God will deliver. Amen, amen. Any more? We're going to keep coming. We're going to keep coming. Amen. If you guys, if God has put on your heart that you need Him, then come forward and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Good, good. So what we're going to do, if Andrew or 412 can just, if we're going to just walk over to the side over there and just minister with you and stuff like that and share Christ's true love. And if we have more, what we're going to do is we're just going to take him to the side and we're going to share about Christ. And well, let's just give a hand clap right now, actually, for that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Good deal. So if we can just have our leaders start to come down and just minister and take care of this. Now, I want to go to the next thing. If you're here tonight and you know that you are swayed by man, that God is not truly first, because you realize that when God tells you to do something, you cannot do it because of what man says. If that's you tonight, if you really cannot get that freedom tonight, I want to encourage you that tonight can be a night of change in your life. It can be tonight. So after I pray, what I would encourage you to do is come to the front, just get on your knees, and I want to encourage you just repent for not having the Lord first in your life all the time. I want to encourage you just get right and commit your life to Christ, that you will put Him first, that you will go where He wants you to go, that you will do what He wants you to do above what man says. So after I worship, I want you to come to the front and do that. And the last thing, if you are here tonight, and you, the Lord is first in your life, you know, and you are serving Him, and you are seeking Him, I want to encourage you guys. Let's go to the next level. David had an understanding about his relationship with the Lord that always took him to the next level. You guys, we need to be able to dance like David danced, to not care what anybody says. So that's you. I want to encourage you to just go to the next level. Whatever it is, whatever the Lord speaks to you, be bold and let's do that. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this time, God. God, I'm praying that your spirit might be unleashed upon this time. I thank you for the salvations, God. I thank you for your boldness, God. I thank you for your kingdom, Jesus. God, I pray that your kingdom might be made known in this place, God. I pray that you might come, Jesus, and speak to us in this place. That you may take us to the next level in our personal life with you. That you might take this ministry to the next level, God. I pray, Jesus, that we here at Generation Ministries might be that light on the hill. Might be like David dancing in front of everyone. That we don't care what the world says, God, because we have the vertical focus. Because we're looking up. We're looking to you. God, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's worship God.